You're listening to Distraction Therapy with me, Rob Watson. Good morning, Rob Watson here, and this is my distraction therapy session for myself, really. It's raining pretty heavily outside. What day is it? It is Friday the 14th of November 2025, and I wanted to do some reflecting on some of the things I've been up to and what I've got kind of in my stack of reading and things to do, which is a kind of catch up, I suppose. So I got back from Japan, my trip to Japan on Monday. So I've had a few days to kind of get back into the routine. I've been doing bits of admin and bits of blogging and some video and stuff like that, and then kind of trying to absorb what the kind of two weeks or so that I spent in Japan was about and what it was like. And gradually jet lag has kind of dissipated. So the last couple of nights I was falling asleep about 8 p.m. And waking up at 4 a.m. Last night I fell asleep at 10 p.m. and woke up at 6. So it's an improvement. Actually, I like that routine. So get up, do things early. That's the style that we should be working in. So it was a couple of things I want to talk about. I want to talk about Japan. I want to talk about where we are with Radio Leah. And I want to talk about some kind of more general observations about media stuff that we're looking at. So, it was like a two-week trip. I completed my travel journal, kind of kept that up, which is quite nice. This is getting a bit battered now, so I'll probably need to retire this and start a new book. I was like the process of sitting and reflecting and just having half an hour to just catch up, and it's just a list of things that you do. It's some of the feelings, the frustrations, or the excitement that you experience, and it's like you might never look at it again, but you've kind of got it out of your head and you've put it down on paper, and it's a nice experience. I like kind of if you wake up early in the morning, is making yourself a coffee and sitting and writing something and not firing anything out about that. So it's kind of a personal reflection, and then it's full of train tickets, and let's have a look. So there we go. So a Japan postcard, which is nice, which has got the picture. If you're listening to this, it's a picture of Mount Fuji and a graphic design picture. We've got a ticket for the Kiyomizu. My Japanese pronunciation is useless, for a temple that we visited. I've got stamps was really good. I mean, one of the things the Japanese are into is little stations when you go and visit an attraction that you get a stamp. We visited the tower at where was the place? It's not in English, but there was a tower nearby where we were staying, which is like a retro 1950s tower. I've got loads of photographs of that. We visited that. Had a look upstairs, didn't go up onto we did go up onto the open area. I got some photos from that, which was quite a challenge for me as I'm, what's the phrase? I get vertigo. So it's like the ticket for the temple, the castle in Osaka. So we went to Nagoya. We flew into Nagoya, met up with some friends, and had a few days visiting the countryside, and went to there's one of the stamps that you get. I put it on the back of a receipt because I didn't have my book handy. And we spent a few days traveling around, and it was like you didn't get any chance to recover from your jet lag. So it was like falling asleep in the back of the cars. We went to the Todaiji Temple. There's a ticket for that, and it's just a fantastic way of traveling about. Then after nearly a week, Tor and I split up and went to Osaka, and Tor's friends went back to Thailand, and we did our own thing in the city, and we had trips out. So we went to Nagoya and Nara, which is the deer park, where people feed the deer, lots of YouTubers, lots of selfies, and you couldn't help but get taken along by the process of being a tourist. You kind of have to do it on that basis. It, for me, because it's the first time I've been, it's like a scoping exercise. You know, a new department store opens, so what's the first visit is really to go and have a look around and look at the general items and see and scope it out and find what's there. And then the next time that you visit, you can do more something more specific. You can focus in on food or, you know, arts and culture or, you know, whatever it is that you're interested in, anime, if that's what you know, gaming, if that's what you're interested in. So it was a real contrast between urban and rural, and that was really gave a really great advantage to it. And the rural Japan is just, well, the parts that we visited, because it's so mountainous, is lovely, and you know, there's not a lot you can do to spoil the mountain regions. Every, you know, the urban developments are in the valleys, and obviously near the coastal areas. So when you're away from that, you're actually caught, you know, it is, and endless tunnels, you know, the route roadways through and the routes through to places go through these amazing tunnels, you know, a kilometer and a half long, that you're driving through. And there's some photos up on the website. If you go to robwatsonmedia.net, there's a slideshow I've put up on there that you can have a look at. And I'll put, there's a gallery as well. So, and I'm going to be adding more to it. I've got to figure out, I've got a problem with downloading the files from my phone, the DNG, the RAW files, uncompressed files, are not syncing for some reason. I've got to figure that out. So I'm struggling with that at the moment. But I'll put them up once I've figured out how to do that. But it's just a remarkable life transforming experience. I really understand, and you know, I have a lot of empathy with the Japanese reluctance for over tourism, because we went to Kyoto for the day. We got the Shinkansen, the fast train, and it only took about 45 minutes from Nagoya, and it was really smooth, lovely ride. It is pricey, but it's, you know, it's fantastic. You can get a local train and it takes a bit longer, but the Shinkansen was fabulous. Just to experience that as well, you know, it's like a dream in many ways. And we went to, yeah, the objective of tours friends was to go selfie collecting, really. And you know, the places that we visited, it was more about using it as a backdrop to get loads of pictures, because you can then say that you were there, because you've got a limited amount of time, limited amount of resources, so you want to go and do stuff. So we went to Kyoto, and just to, you know, the main temple, and the streets around it, you've probably seen them on YouTube videos and everything. It's just overcrowded. It rained all day, so that wasn't, you know, that was fairly typical, but it's like, you know, the umbrellas come out. And it's just kind of, there's a performative nature to it, really, which, you know, I kind of quite like to observe, but I'm quite reluctant to, you know, to accept that I'm part of that process, you know, international tourism. And, you know, you're spending your money, so it helps with the Japanese economy. But I don't think that's a good enough reason for walking around a temple that's hundreds of years old and just treating it as a kind of prop or a selfie backdrop, rather than actually trying to understand what the culture is about that has brought that about. Yes, it's a fantastic backdrop, and yes, it's a lovely place to visit. And when you get away from the crowds and the tour, you know, the main spot where everybody congregates, then you find that it dissipates quite quickly, and there's only a few people around. So we had a lovely walk in the woodland around there, and then and a rejoin the crowds, if you like. So it's you can get away, and we stayed in a in a spa hotel, and we had a private onsen, because it was all heated by volcanic spas, so the water was naturally warm. It was, you know, it was a lovely temperature, and we had a private. I'm a bit cautious because I've got tattoos, and Japanese culture is resistant to tattoos. When you go to an onsen, if you've got tattoos, you have to either cover them up or go to an onsen that has, you know, kind of as it welcomes people who've got tattoos, but a lot don't. And so, but this was a private one. We kind of had the dressing up in the, you know, the room was lovely. It was laid out in the kind of traditional Japanese style. I fell on my arse in the middle of the night because I got up to go for a pee and forgot that there was a step. Luckily, the floor was wooden, so I bounced quite a bit. It didn't cause any serious injuries, just an embarrassment. And then we had a meal, and that was kind of delivered to us in a very traditional style. And it was, yeah, the layout of the food was fabulous. And Japanese food it lacks the spice and the bite of, if you like, Thai food. But it is really, it's wholesome. I've eaten a lot of rice. Surprisingly, I didn't put on too much weight because we also did an awful lot of walking. So I was doing between 25 and 30,000 steps a day. So it's, you know, literally it could be from, apart from when we were driving, you know, it's like 9 o'clock. Sorry, 7 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, you're traveling somewhere. But when you're walking around, particularly when we were in Osaka, we'd get out of the hotel as early. Well, I mean, it started to get a bit later. We were kind of, you know, we were getting tired. So it was just, you know, make sure we had a good night's sleep. But you're getting back at 10 p.m. And when you go to a cafe or a restaurant and you sit down and have a meal, or you get something from a 7-Eleven and you find somewhere where you can just, you know, kind of stand in a corner and eat, because Japanese people don't eat on the streets, which is fabulous. And there's a couple of other things that I have clocked, and which everybody knows, you know, it's a bit of a cliche, but it does make a big difference to the civility of how people get along and get on together. So you're getting back at the hotel at 10 p.m. something like that, and you've just walked everywhere, because it's not the kind of place where you sit around in coffee shops all day. There are coffee shops. The next visit obviously is going to have to be for Tokyo. So I mean, that's just going to be an amazing experience, I think. One of the kind of wow moments. There were a couple of wow moments. I mean, the first one was walking through the railway station at Nagoya. And you underneath all of these railway stations, these big railway stations, is like a city, a street of shops and restaurants. And we walked past this street, and we were going in the opposite direction. We were going across the station, not through. And it was just this endless, and it was like one of those moments where you say, wow, you know, this is incredible. It's just this endless underground street, clean, quiet, brightly lit, well-maintained, busy, bustling, and a really nice, you know, really nice atmosphere, and, you know, a diverse set of shops. And it was just, you know, a whole range of different types of people in there as well, all just kind of moving along in the separate ways, kind of quite in your own worlds. And that was really nice. And nobody being bombarded with anything, no kind of aggressive advertising or anything. It was just kind of, you know, you explored the space and found things. The second wow moment was where we were staying next to Tenjoy Station. There's a tower, a block, which goes up to, I think it's about 2,000 metres, like 60 floors, and on the top was an observation deck. So we actually realised we were staying by this tower at I think it was the Friday evening before we left. And we went up at night time, and when you just walk out of the elevator opens, and the glass, you know, windows are wrapping around the top of the observation deck, these huge big windows, and you see the cityscape, and it's just wow. The blocks, the tower blocks. I mean, you almost expected a flying car, you know, kind of Blade Runner style to be scooting around. It was just amazing. It was just, you know, it was one of those moments. Again, there's photos up on the website for this, and it was like, it gives you a sense of the scale. And when you think about, you know, kind of metropolitan areas, it is a metropolitan area, the rapid transport system, the metro, very few cars on the road when we were, you know, kind of stood looking down at the city. Actually, not that much traffic. You know, it's not when I've been to Bangkok, it's bumper to bumper. Here in the UK, it's bumper to, you know, there's times when the traffic's bumper to bumper. It was never that there because the metro system's so good. And if it just demonstrates that if you put a rapid, cheap, relatively cheap metro system in, buses, hop on, hop off buses, if you're putting in, you know, tram systems and things like that. You know, you don't, people don't need to gravitate towards private and individual cars. There's plenty of taxis and there are plenty of cars on the road and they're all new, relatively new, and they're all quite quiet and the road surface. So there were times when you're kind of walking through the city centre. I think it was in Nagoya, we had a walk through the city centre and you kind of listen to the vehicles and they're purring, they're not growling. In the UK, cars seem to be tuned and maintained to have that kind of deep, guttural kind of growl. There, it's like the taxis, these 40-year-old Datsun taxis driven by a man in a uniform with white gloves as a taxi driver was, you know, they were just pairing away. I haven't heard cars like that for a long time. They were just tuned to be kind of elegant and glide almost. And, you know, there was nothing aggressive about it. The couple of things that kind of I noticed in terms of behaviour and expectations of behaviour is one, there are no bins anywhere. You get them at 7-Eleven. So if you need to drop stuff off, you find one, but you carry a bag with you. And if you've got any rubbish that you need to dispose of, well, you take it home with you. And the people keep the streets clean. When you go into the toilet, there's no rubbish hanging around or anything. It's just people do genuinely look after the environment themselves. They're not expecting other people to be sweeping up for them. And there are people there sweeping up, but they don't, you know, they can concentrate on, if you like, the more difficult places to clean, the edges, the skirting boards, the, you know, those kind of things, rather than worrying about chasing overflown bins and, you know, and chasing around after people who've just discarded things willy-nilly, absent-mindedly. It keeps it, the people keep it clean. It doesn't keep it clean by itself, but people keep it clean. The other element was the kind of keeping your voice down in public places. So it's the foreigners, you know, it's the Americans, you know, the noisiest, the Indians who are the noisiest, the Chinese who are the noisiest, probably the Brits. But, you know, kind of just keeping your tone down, keeping, you know, respectful, not talking on trains. You know, kind of not talking on the buses. I mean, the buses were a bit cramped. The trains at times could be a bit cramped. The metro trains could be a bit cramped. But you kind of, if it's part of your daily life to move from A to B at the busy times. You know, listening on headphones to music. Nobody's doing that ridiculous thing of picking up their phone and shouting at their phone and looking, you know, somebody having a conversation that everybody else can hear. You know, you wait until you're in a place. If you need to take a call, you know, you do it discreetly, and or you wait till you're inside your office or your home to do those calls. It's not about, you know, performative call taking in the street. And I know, you know, from my own experience, I'm guilty of that as I walk around having conversations and probably annoying people with the loudness of my voice. So I kind of appreciate having experienced this in Japan, that it's in another way is possible. It's always the kind of simple things, and they're stopping at the junctions and waiting for the red light to turn green, and nobody steps into the into the crossing. You wait until it goes green. We saw this guy. We were crossing the busy main road by the railway station, and there was a guy, and he was drunk, and he was like he was on a ship. He was swaying from side to side, and We just watched it, but he held back until the lights changed. And then as he was walking across the road, he was staggering, could barely keep in a straight line to keep upright. But he waited until it was green and everybody else. And what it does was it calms you down. It's like you wait. And you could be in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock in the morning and there's no traffic around and people will stop and wait for it to change. And there's a kind of self-discipline and it creates an order. Whereas in the UK, what it's all about is aggressively getting across, you know, getting ahead, moving on to the next section, finding your way to where you need to be and not actually enjoying the journey because it's not enjoyable. And then dodging, you know, making sure that you're dodging other people here. There's people glide past each other and, you know, they were not interfering with each other, if you like, or getting frustrated that they might be in each other's way or walking slowly or something. They just took their time. And as people walked across, the traffic turning right gives way, or turning left, I can't remember which way it is, but, you know, it gives way and then it stops at the pedestrian markings on the road, the stripes, and it gives the pedestrians way, and nobody pays attention to them. There's just the assumption that you're not going to be hassled, you're not going to be hurried to get across by some impatient driver who wants to speed off. So there's a respect for the pedestrian process. Plus, it's the street surface is flat, so there's very few curbs. I mean, there are curbs, but there's very few curbs that you have to navigate. And unlike my neighbourhood around here in the West End in Leicester, there's no broken pavements. There's no up and down higgledy-piggledy, you know, kind of pavements that haven't been looked at for 30, 40 years. This is all, you know, it's well-maintained and it's consistent. So you can walk around and you're not looking down at your feet. And when you wear varifocal glasses like I do, looking down at your feet is sometimes you misplace and where you're putting your feet and where they should go. There you kind of you began to forget that you had to do that, whereas here it's like an assault course and just one of those small things that you're holding on to all the time. So yeah, it gives you a sense of order. So I kind of enjoyed that. And then the kind of you know, we spent a lot of time so a couple of things we picked up. So first of all, let me just add this. I got a copy of Harry Murray Kami's The City and Its Uncertain Walls bought that in Japan. It's like nice to have. I've read most of Murakami's books and it's nice to have a copy. I'm actually reading Philip Pullman's Book of Dust at the moment. I took a version, I bought a Kindle version, and I barely had time to get any reading done. I did some on the plane, but not a lot. So I'm just slowly working through it. My reading seems to have slowed down. But what was, a big part of our enjoyment and pleasure was to get the capsule toys, where you go to like a machine and you put your yen, you put your 500, 300, 400 yen into the machine and you get little toys like this. I think this one, there we go, this one. Let's hold it there. This one lights up. So we've got lots of these things. Badgers. This is a motorized noodle. Let's see if the light's going to change. This is a motorized noodle, which is like kind of a pot of noodle, a cup noodle on wheels. And does it open up? Oh, and it opens up and there is a picture of some noodles on the inside. We've got one which is a... you might have seen these on Instagram videos. It's a cat. I'm trying to... cat in a cardboard box. That was quite fun. I got a... And these are like treasures. These are like little treasures. This is a cat with a ghost kind of a blanket over itself. So it's like a ghost cat. It's like there's an irony to it, which is very, very sweet. And it doesn't, you know, it's kind of like people know that they're daft and know that there's a playfulness to them. We've got some kittens. So these are like velvety pink and blue kittens. And you just kind of, you collect all of these things as you're going along and they're kind of quite good fun. I mean, after a while you realise that a lot of the machines are, you know, doing the same things. Let me get, I've got a bag here, so... came back with Relacuma bag with some goodies in. All of these things for me. Got a postcard from Nara and a postcard from... where is it? It'll tell me on the postcard. Will it tell me on the postcard? I can't remember where it is. It's in Japanese. So I've got some Snoopy... chopsticks. I got some Moomin chopsticks. I turned into an idiot. I got a Moomin shopping bag. You should never be without a Moomin shopping bag. I got a stack of stickers. So I've now got loads of cat stickers. So kind of little stickers. The stationery shops, I just adored the stationery shops. It's like the pens and the pencils laid out And just, you know, it was just like a really nice, pleasant experience to just wander around. We got some gifts for some friends, and I got a thingy book, what do they call them? Like the albums where you paper, you know, you let's do. And this one is a cat, kind of doing various things. I think there's one on either side. So a cat walks up and licks your face as you go through. And it was, you know, it's like a big kid. The other thing, we've got loads of stuff. Well, there was when we were out walking one visit, we went for a walk around a river. And all the people who were hiking, it's like kind of hiking stuff, had a bell. And so I got one of them. And it's like, they just as a hiker, you just walked with this bell. It was really cute. It was like nice. And I used that word a lot. It was like, you know, oh, that's cute. And I'm not really one for cute things. Little cassette player, which doesn't do anything very much. Yeah, it was for some badges, and just a few kind of, gifts and odds and sods, really. And it was like, you know, it's like, that's what brought back. It was like as mementos. It made it fun. And, you know, you kind of accumulate these things as you go along. The other thing I got some fridge magnets, obviously, and some notebooks, and we got, one of the things I bought was a nice little case, for like a day case, so when I'm not carrying my big heavy bag, which I seem to carry everywhere, I can go out with just a small case. And I bought a Japanese mechanical pencil, which I'm really pleased with, because, you know, it's like a kind of style icon, iconic for Japanese culture, really, that kind of sense of what I think one of the crucial differences between the UK and Japan. And, you know, we think of Japan as a high tech economy, and it is, but it's also it's a well engineered economy, and having people trained to think in engineering terms. So that your primary function is to make things work, not to sell something, not to bullshit your way through anything, not to promote yourself, but to make something work. And there's a public service attitude, which is, you know, the people who run the train systems and the buses and the, you know, the shops and things. It's about making the experience work and make it functional. I mean, there are some, you know, we went to Don Quixote, Donkey. And that's a fairly trashy experience, and if I never step in one of them, the novelty is worn off. If I never step in one of them again, I'll be quite happy. But there are lots of other places where, you know, supermarket assistants are as grumpy as they are anywhere. One of the things I really liked, and it's in maybe contrast to some of the attitudes that we have here in the UK, is that there's very little attempt to speak English. And, you know, you can use things like your phone to translate things, and you can get by being polite and pointing and gesticulating. That tends to work, and, you know, you kind of trying to listen as you're doing things. But I think, you know, nobody makes the effort to speak English, and quite rightly, I think it's our job as visitors to learn about Japanese culture and about Japanese language. And I'd like to see a bit more of that in the UK, that you come and you speak English, and we spend too much time. Well, you know, it encourages social fragmentation. I've blogged about this elsewhere. This establishes and maintains a sense of cultural and social unity. Is that there's an expectation? It's not to say that people aren't helpful, and that you're using translation devices now. So having, you know, kind of Google Translate, or we looked at in one of the big camera shops. We looked at a translator device, which is, you know, kind of you can either speak into or you type what your message is and it'll translate things. We've got the technology to do this now, but just that, you know, kind of when you're walking about, you don't expect anybody to be speaking English to you. You might get that on occasions and you appreciate it. But really, you know, the expectation is that you're there to fit in with the Japanese society and culture. And I think that's really how it should be. Music and media wise, just got a, you know, the hotel TV, really. What I wanted to do, and I didn't get the chance because I couldn't get it to work somehow, as I listened to a bit of Japanese AM radio, and I had my portable radio set with me, and I just couldn't link it. I should have taken a Zoom recorder with me. I didn't take one of my Zooms with me. I couldn't pull in a feed from the radio station. So I'm going to have to try and find a way of see if there's an online feed to get the AM. I wanted the reception quality, the interference. Japanese stations are pretty much the same as radio stations anywhere else. But it was kind of nice to listen to it as a kind of situated, it's in place, and it's not just something that you're streaming online kind of experience. So I've got a lot to think about. There's a lot to absorb. It does change the way that you approach things, and I'll be blogging about this and putting photo galleries up on the website and stuff like that. So as I say, I'm not suddenly becoming a Japanophile, but that might be something. It's no longer so alien to me, and I've never been so far east. But if I went back again, I think spend some time in Tokyo, but try and get out of the city and into some rural areas, because the peacefulness and the calmness of the rural areas is just incredibly nice. And, you know, it's we had some days when it was raining, but for the most part, it was very mild, actually. You know, we took a range of clothes because we knew being up in the mountains. At one point, we were at the top of a mountain, and it was snowing, and you know, it was minus one or something like that. But as soon as you're back down to the ground, it was quite mild and temperate. So, you know, we didn't need half the clothes that we took with us because the weather was fine. So, but the rain, you buy a cheap umbrella there, and that lasts for your journey. And you know, it's you're on the metro as well and stuff like that. So lots to kind of go back over and think about. And we did the thing of what's the name of the road, Donbori, where the bridge is, and in Osaka, and the Running Man image is behind. So I've got that, you know, classic selfie, you know, and hundreds of people, thousands and thousands of people visit that every day. It's quite crowded. But there is an order, and there's a calmness to having that many people. And I think it's the foreign tourists who cause the grief. Also at the same time, as kind of Japan, the Radio Lea radio station is now up and running, and it's kind of trundling away in the background, and managed to generate a load of AI content to play on the station, so you can have a listen to that. It's at radiolea.uk. There are some podcasts on there, music-based podcasts on there, that I have a performing rights license for a podcaster's license for, which you can download and listen to. And the feed from the radio station, which is being broadcast on DAB in Leicester and Loughborough, is playing out at the moment. And, that's kind of, I'm looking forward to thinking about how to take this to the next stage and see what kind of funding I can get into to develop this service as a focal point for, the whole ethos of it is I can perhaps say, claim it's the first meta-modern radio station in the world, whatever that means. And my focus on this is it's emergent art. So it's the idea that it's stuff that I don't want to be regurgitating stuff that's been well-worn and well-visited already. I don't want it to be identity-based. I want to explore what Joseph Campbell calls mythogenetic themes and do that through sound. And I'd just kind of get it established and then start to look at doing some sound-based projects, whether that's working with local sound artists or traveling further afield to develop content which can be played out on the station. It's all got to be performing PRS free. PRS is the Performing Rights Society, and they collect money for music and copyrighted content. So it's got to be content that isn't PRSable, so that it's free to play on this service, so that we can run it at very low cost. But also, it's just, you know, kind of just build, you know, hopefully something that I think can change expectations about what radio can be. You know, I'm not the first to do this. There is a huge network of arts-based radio stations across Europe and across the world. This is my small foothold in that, and then let's think about developing it and having conversations and discussions about where these things might go in the future, and looking for commissions and collaborative work with other platforms and service and artists and stations. And it's not about information. It's not about, there's elements of, we can use it in whatever way that we want. So if we want to have discussions, if we want to have news and information about, you know, arts and things, that's fine. We can do that. But it's, at this point, it's really about experiential audio, so that when you're listening to it, you kind of, you're transported into a different kind of sonic framework, and that your, you know, your auditory perceptions are being, the boundaries are being dissolved, I think is the way I'd like to describe it, rather than, I'm not here to transform anybody's perspective on anything, but it's just to kind of say, well, actually radio can be formulated and articulated in a different way. And when I'm generating the content at the moment, because that's AI generated, and we're using AI a lot for the service, it's kind of non-rhythmic, atonal. That's the kind of words that I use, emergent. Using a lot of things like, whispers across the mediascape is a turn of phrase that I've used a lot, maybe cliches, but they generate a certain kind of audio on the platform, the audio generator, and that just helps to start to kind of develop this, and hopefully I'll start getting into doing some purposeful production work, rather than maybe just kind of using the AI generated stuff, is actually work directly with people to create content which is comes from a more individual and personal experience. So it's going well. I don't know if anybody's listening to it or if anybody has picked up on it. I've had no feedback. The social media presence. I've created some posters, some cards. Let's see. I think I've mentioned this previously. I've got business cards now. There we go. There's my box of business cards with the let's get one out with the station name and my address on it. So this has got Leicester Emergent Arts Radio. It's got a QR code on it, and then it's got my contact details on it as well. And I've ordered some stickers because I realised in Japan that there are, they use kind of designated places, really. It's not willy-nilly everywhere, but leaving a sticker, and I've got some postcards that I've made up, but I've ordered a few thousand stickers, which have got a logo, a kind of icon, and with the QR code and the logo for the station. Which I can kind of take around with me and just kind of, you know, give to people and, you know, stick on, not bus stops, I was going to say bus stops, but when you go into like a independent coffee shop or something like that, and, you know, there's a sticker board there, then you can add a sticker to it. So, so that's, hopefully that's, I can start kind of thinking more about it, more about the experience that it generates, and get into some of the ideas and start doing some improving the blogging that goes in on the website as well, because using kind of AI to generate blogs, and then some of the characters that are created for the site. So Max Sturm, the creative director, will be active on X, posting content, perhaps Instagram posting content. And I just kind of need to focus on how to regularize this and maintain a presence that is hopefully entertaining, rather than, you know, if it's an interesting and challenging, for it in itself, rather than being something which is you know, serving an audience, it's not what I want to do, and it's not, it doesn't have outcomes. I really don't know what any of these things will lead to. And it's just about using the technology and the platforms that we've got. And a big thank you to Sam and John and Owen for the kind of help and support that they've given to get it this far and to get it launched, and maybe hear a lot more about it as we progress. So, yeah, so I think that's a general overview of stuff that I've been doing. It's going to be a rainy, gloomy day, so I might go out for a coffee or something later on. I'll get back to you when I've figured out some more stuff. You can keep in touch if you want to come on and have a chat and a conversation and share your experiences of Japan, or if you want to talk about your art-based sound work or your any other kind of art practice, I'm really happy to. One of the I call this podcast distraction therapy, and I started that during the pandemic, and it's kind of intermittent and hasn't really caught a flow, if you like, and it would be great if it did, but kind of a regular conversations and discussions about what are those things that you just, is your distraction therapy, that it's flicking through YouTube or Instagram reels or whatever it is not a good use of our time. But there's other things that we can do, like your reading, your imaginative approach when you go and visit a place. I mean, it was in Japan, it was lovely because it's information overload. And just hanging around and watching people and listening to the environment. So I did some sound capture. I took a microphone that I could plug into my phone. So I've managed to get some sounds, and I want to sit down when I'm kind of a bit calmer and start to mix through them and put something together, which I'll play out on the radio station and put out as a podcast. Just really to kind of bring that into, to make those observations. And then, of course, you circle around initially and then you come into the centre of it more and then back out to the peripheries again. And it's just, that kind of sense that we don't have to be always chasing something that makes sense now. It's from whatever perspective we're coming at things from. It's like, what does this mean? Well, if we don't know immediately, that's fine. And that's what I kind of mean about the emergent nature of this, is that we're finding out as we go along, and let's create something new and interesting. And whether it's through fashion, through sport, through whatever activity is, movement, through, we can use whatever mechanisms and platforms and ideas that we can to bring this into fruition. Right. Okay, that's me wrapping up for now, and I'll try and record something again in the near future. But until next time, contact me via Rob W Media on Twitter, Instagram, and that kind of stuff. Twitter's X is best. But if you want to contact me at rob@robwatsonmedia.net, and the website is robwatsonmedia.net. It'd be great to hear from you. Thanks for listening to Distraction Therapy with me, Rob Watson.